And a good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being on board here on a Tuesday afternoon. We appreciate you being with us. Let me get my levels adjusted to where they are not splattering, and we can get the music to where I can talk over top of it here. Glad to have you with us. Beautiful day outside, 76 degrees. Not a good day for traffic. Not a good day for traffic. Nah, I-26 is messed up. I'll tell you about it. Stick around. All right, well, let's see what we got. It is a wreck. It is between the airport and 146. It is on the eastbound side, which is coming toward Hendersonville. It is right there. I didn't even know the name of that road. There's a road that goes under the interstate. Is that Glen Bridge that goes under the interstate? Yeah. Just right before Glen Bridge. Well, I'm showing that there's wrecks in both lanes. I'm showing east and west now. But right before Glen Bridge goes under I-26, there's a wreck. And man, has it got it stopped. And I do mean stopped. I'm not just saying slow. It looks to be stopped. And this is stopped all the way past the Blue Ridge Parkway. It is very slow in the straight before you start up the split. And it is moderate the other side of the river back toward the outlet malls. So, yeah, it must be bad. Can anybody see that? Can anybody tell me what you got? You see, that's the divided highway as well. Right there at the, you know, there's quite a bit of division between the two lanes, but apparently they're saying there's a wreck on both sides now. Well, I think it started out with just one side, and now they're saying the other side. So what that's done is now it's got the traffic going slow and slower, almost all the way back to the airport if you're going west to this wreck site. And then it's from the same place there just before Glen Bridge all the way back to the river. You are stopped or barely moving. Anybody coming through there, and you've already been through there, can you tell us what you've got? I don't think it's happened for very long, and the reason being because it would be backed up further than that. Okay, it would probably be backed up much further than that. But the fact that the interstate has gone down has put a little bit of pressure. It's building. If you're going to do the secondaries, you better hurry. Yeah, the traffic is starting to build. 25A, it's noticeable. Coming south down to Mills Gap, and you're beginning to see a little more on the secondaries. 112 Sardis toward Inca, that's moderate this afternoon. You have got a little bit in the malfunction junction where 240 gets on to 40 West. That is slow. 40 West is moderate between 40 exit 44 and I-26 right there. In Asheville, it's slow on the bridge today, and that is backed up from the Sam's Red Light across the bridge and back up toward UNCA. You got your normal slowdown around 240 this time of day in there around the Civic Center. That's just par for the course. But you've got another slowdown. This is on I-40, and it's right where the Blue Ridge Parkway crosses I-40. That only happens one time, and it's right there. And it's from the Blue Ridge Parkway Bridge back toward Black Mountain. And that's considered it's not very slow, but it is slow. So I'm not sure what that's about today. No wreck indicated, but again, who knows? All right. And as I watch, yeah, conditions are worsening. Yeah, conditions are worsening. The lines are longer and the traffic's slower and building back. So, again, if it's moving on I-26 eastbound, it's not moving fast, okay, because the line keeps getting longer, okay? Moving toward Tennessee, we're okay there. A lot of traffic on 441 today on both sides of the parkway, or both sides of the Smokies, Klingman's Dome, rather, because of the leaves. And, of course, I'm sure they're beautiful up at that elevation. And I don't see too much with the elk today. I don't see they're slow, but I don't see as many people park, so I don't know if the elk are out today. No, I take that back. No. The elk must be out today because it is backed up on both sides of the road today. Elk, yeah, there's a herd of elk, and they live at the Akana Lufti Visitor Center. Now, somebody said the other day, said, yeah, they got them in cages or they got them out in a big fence. No. You don't understand. These elk came here on their own. Yeah, they let them out in Cataloochee. That's where the first herd was. That herd split and moved, and a big group of them came across the parkway. So now there is, Cherokee has its own elk herd. And if you can always tell when the elk are out, because that section from the end where the Blue Ridge Parkway terminates, from there up past the visitor center, will be stopped on both sides of the road, people watching the elk. And it is the rut, and so there are some fierce battles going on. And just a word of caution, don't ever, okay, let me say this again, don't ever, ever, I mean, don't ever approach an elk, not this time of the year. Don't ever approach one. But you certainly don't want to approach one this time of the year. No, you make them mad, and I promise you, and you don't have to do anything. You just have to be there to make them mad. So just your presence makes them infuriated, and they can open up a hood of a car like a can opener. You just don't want to do that. And I'm very serious. I'm very, very serious. They're dangerous. And of course, there are volunteers who try to keep, you know, the elk away from the cars, because they'll fight and go right in amongst the cars. I told the story a while back that a couple of years ago, they got down in the village, in the old cabins and stuff. I mean, two big antlered buck elk, two big males. And I mean, they were about to try and kill each other. And there were people having, the rangers running there with a little old Prius and beeping the horn, a little old Prius trying to scare them. Well, they didn't put more pay attention to that Prius than they would to Man in the Moon. And so, they had to grab the people and try to get the people out because they were all in there. It was very dangerous because they got in between in what they call those old dog shed cabins, you know, in the run between them. And those elk were in there fighting, and they had to put the people in the rooms of the cabins to get out of the way of the elk. That's how crazy it got. So... Yeah, that's not routine, but it did happen a couple of years ago. So we were over there. So we went over there to see that happen. We were over there a couple of days after it happened, and they were still quite shaken by all of that. Yeah, let's run out of Greenville right quick. Everything else looks pretty good, except Greenville. Oh my word, we're playing roller derby in Greenville this afternoon. There are three wrecks. I-85 southbound, US 25 southbound, and then there's road closures in the intersection of I-85 northbound, and then road closure on the ramp, and then there's, on top of all of that, there is road construction. We are backed up all the way down to the Pilot Travel Center down at Highway 86. That's how far backed up the traffic is going north on 85. And so, yeah, it's just basically stopped. And then all of that section coming in there from the start of 185 as it comes around through there, all that's messed up. Both sides of 85 in there around 25, White Horse Road. Yeah, and it's slow. It's backed up now. Now, if you're going southbound, it's past 291. Yeah, it's already back to, 291? Pleasantburg Drive, that section. Parkins Mill Road. Okay, that's something there. So, anyway, it's, not a good afternoon in Greenville travel for sure. Then we got the regular problems. It's not quite as bad today from the airport down to just past Pelham on the southbound side. And that's been something we've been seeing just a lot. Just a regular thing here of late. We've seen a lot of backup in that section. And again, I'm not sure what all that's about. I've threatened to go down there and see what we're up against, because we see it so often. All right. If you're looking around today, not too good traffic, but if you're looking at temperatures, they've been nice. Yeah, we're at 70. Interesting. Very interesting. When's the last time that Greenville-Spartanburg Airport? Okay, that's. I guess I can go by that. But right now, I'm showing that GSP, Greenville-Spartanburg, is at 74. Yeah, and that Asheville, KAVL, is at 76. Warmer in Asheville than it is in Spartanburg, Greenville-Spartanburg. You don't see that every day, but that's what it says. So we'll go with that, all right? We'll go with that. Let's look at that forecast. You know, we had the cool weekend and some frost. And wasn't huge, but we did have some frost. I noticed some stuff on the porch didn't get killed, so it must not have been too bad. I got up, I guess it was Friday, let's see, I guess it was Saturday morning that the field was white in front of the house, and then I think it was again on Sunday morning, but under the eaves and stuff, you know, we didn't have a freeze, we just had a frost. The weatherman says tonight's going to be very mild, 52, 74 tomorrow, 55 tomorrow night, 72 Thursday, 57 Thursday night. Little chance of a shower on Friday, 70. Speaking of that, you know how long it's been since it rained? Have y'all thought about that? Any measurable rainfall. You know, we had a skiff Friday here. I mean, just a skiff. But I'm talking about any measurable rain. It's getting dry. Friday night, 55. Saturday's a beautiful day, 72, partly cloudy. There is a slight chance of showers on Saturday night, but it's only 40%. So Sunday is 71, Sunday night 56, Monday 71, Monday night 56, Tuesday a slight chance of showers, high of 70, a very dry fall, and it's going to cause those leaves to, it's going to cause them to continue to turn. The dryness will also probably cause them to stay on the trees more than they normally would as far as the shedding is concerned of the leaves. And then the cold temperatures over the last weekend caused them to change up pretty good, but then these warmer temperatures, not so much. No, you don't get quite the turning. So I've had people asking, when's going to be the peak? And, you know, it just depends on where you go, truthfully. The higher the elevation, the quicker the peak. The lower the elevation, the later the peak. So, I mean, you can still get beautiful scenery in the Greenville, South Carolina mountains, you know, on the eastern escarpment, on the Greenville side, on the southern side, you can still get some beautiful leaves the 1st of November. So, typically. And so, anyway, we are... we're watching that and looking at that, and I wished I could get a little closer than that for you, but I'm sorry, that's about as far as I can get. Today is the 20th day of October. AM 720 is sponsored in honor of the 38th anniversary of an anonymous sponsor. They thank God for putting them together. Praise Him for His many blessings. We say amen to that. 94.9, WGCR.net, WGCR Preaching Channel, Music Channel, and Video Channel. It's all sponsored by Paul and Ann Diamond, and it's in honor of their 41st wedding anniversary. They also thank God for their two daughters and two grandchildren. We say amen. Thank you. God bless you to both of these sponsors here today. 37 days until Thanksgiving. It won't be long now, will it? And happy birthday today to Lydia Perry. Lydia Perry. Also, today would have been my grandmother's birthday. She was born Ada Winfred Fenwick. And her mother was a Tinsley. And her mother was born just above Looking Glass Falls in a log cabin. It's set across from the pullout there, the picnic area, on the Tinsley Place up in the National Forest. Her father immigrated here from Manchester, England. And they married. He was the depot agent at Cathus Creek, the Celica. He was depot agent at the Celica train station, the Celica Depot. And then her mom, Emma Tinsley Fenwick, was the first in this area. She was the first female postmaster of that post office there, the Salika Post Office. And so my grandma was born on this date in 1891. Still miss her. She's been gone a long time, but I still miss her a great deal. All right. We are glad to have you with us. We're grateful to the Lord for His mercy and appreciate God's goodness. Who's with us today? Who's on board? I think the easiest way to do it is to alphabetize them. So let me see if it will. I think it will. Nope. That was wrong. Okay. So let me do something different here. I'm making it worse. So I'm just making it worse all the way around. I'm not doing any good at all. Okay, here we go. All right, so let's see if I can do it this way. Asheville, Augusta, Avon, Brevard, Charlotte, Chicago, Denver, Ellijay, Fort Mill, Gordon, Grassy Creek, Greenville, Hendersonville, Houston, Madison, Ottawa, Roy, St. Mary's, San Jose, Toms River, Unknowns, and a bunch of those, and Washington. That's a town. And we're glad to have all these folks with us here this afternoon. And God bless you for being on board. Well, let me see. All right, I appreciate the question. Let me start out. So I've got text line coming in. Thank you. 577-1296 on that. My mom, Phil, my wife, or I, one, or my daughter, one of the three of us, do her medicine on Saturday afternoons. My wife was there, and she tripped over a rug and fell, hit on her knee. And so she was in a lot of pain Saturday night. But Sunday morning, we had decided that we know she needed to be looked at. And I appreciate... I don't know if y'all know it or not, but there is a new party urgent care opened up in Pisgah Forest. It's in the old Rite Aid building. And of course, I'm a party patient, and when you're with party, you have all the computers interchanged. In other words, they see your records. And so I find it easier that if you stay with the same group, then all of your stuff changes and all your stuff interchanges. And so, I was going to mention some very friendly folks down there. And the thing about it is, it's being run by mostly Brevard folk, Brevard natives. Yeah. Beth Davis, she was the receptionist there on Sunday, had to work Sunday. And she was the receptionist, worked with me so much because I stopped and saw her after church, told her my situation, how scared mama was of COVID. And all of that. And then I went home, got her, come back, went in. She said, yep, we're good. Bring her straight back. Appreciate Beth. She's Denny and Jenny Landris' daughter. And then I've known of this young man, but I don't think we had formally ever met. James Ryan Sorrells. He spent 10 years in the Green Beret, Fort Bragg, as a medic. And then he came out and became a physician's assistant. And so he is the primary physician's assistant there at this urgent care in the old Rite Aid building. His wife, by the way, is the vice principal at Brevard High. And so Ryan graduated Rosman not that many years ago. And so, yeah, and of course, Moby Sorrells is his great uncle, and Becky Weichel is his great aunt. And so I know the whole family and have for a very long time. And then Noel Garner was the x-ray technician. And I say Noel, Joel. She's brother and sister Lively. Jerry Lively's got a program on it. That's his daughter. Of course, with all these masks on, I can't figure out who nobody is. Everybody speaks to me, and then Lord, who in the world are you? And then I have to pull your mask down. Let me look at you a second. I hate to be like that, but I can't tell nothing with these masks on. But anyway, they just treated Mama the best. Can't tell you how good they did. And then Of course, if you go in the front of the old Rite Aid, there's two sides of it. On the left side is the urgent care. And then it's open every day. And of course, it's in a good place right there with the forest and everything. And then if you go to the right, that's the orthopedic side. And they've got orthopedics that are there, you know, every day. There's somebody there, PAs and doctors that are come to Bouard. So they rotate. And so that whole party group comes through there. Then if you go around the side of the building, where the drive-through used to be, that's all been changed. That is the Medina Cancer Treatment, Oncology Treatment Center there. Then if you go around the back of the building, closest to Walmart, that's the old freight entrance for Rite Aid. Well, that's all been changed. That is the physical therapy area. So they have a full physical therapy area, party physical therapy back there. So there's actually four different operations going on in that one Rite Aid building. That's a very smart move. I don't know who come up with that, but that was a very, very smart move. And I appreciate it being a party patient. See, Dr. Webb hadn't been here long whenever I went to see him first time. And that's been a very long time ago. So that's how I got in with Part E, and that's how I got in Mills River Family. And so staying in the party system, especially now that they're affiliated with Chapel Hill, University of Chapel Hill Medical Center, because of that, then now with Part E and now with all that, and of course they've got the urgent cures. They got one in Mills River. They got the big one in Fletcher. They've got the one at the old Walmart behind Krispy Kreme in Hendersonville. And then that's also where the physical therapy's at. So I've been going over there for physical therapy, the one there where the old Walmart was, next to the Epic Theater or whatever it's called. And so, yeah, they've expanded out quite a bit. But to get to go to the urgent care and not have to go to the emergency room, it's a big deal. And it's a big deal cost-wise. If I go to an urgent care, I think I pay $50, maybe. Maybe not that much. I don't know. I don't even know how it's been, so I don't know. But if I go to an emergency room, it's $500 out of my pocket if I go to the ER. Now, there's some things worth paying $500 for. And there's times it's 911 time, and you dial the number, and it doesn't matter what it costs, right? But on the other hand, when it's not something that is life-threatening and you're too sick to wait, but yet you can't get an appointment with your family practice. And here's another thing, especially if you've got a fever. So many of your family practices don't want you coming in with the fever because of COVID. So what's the next best thing? Well, the urgent cures. They're geared up for that. And some of them are and some of them aren't. But I'm just saying that this one is. And the one in Hendersonville, there at the old Walmart. Well, I take that back. I don't know about that one. The one in Fletcher is. They're right there on the line, Buncombe, Transylvania line. That one's geared up for COVID. And then this one is down here. The other ones I couldn't tell you. So anyway, thank you. She is. She went to the orthopedic yesterday. They tried to take some fluid off. Couldn't get any off, so it must be just a very big hematoma, meaning that it's more of a like a big blood blister than it is fluid, which I guess is good. I think she busted the bursa sac right under the kneecap, probably she did. But didn't have to have a cast or anything. Nothing's broke. They just going to put her in a splint and a compression bandage. And so appreciate you asking. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, thank you. And then who else is Cedar Mountain, North Carolina, is with us today. I'm glad you identified yourself. Thank you for being on board. I had heard this. I wanted to call this to your attention. This is posted on Facebook. Sunday afternoon. Well, let me frame this. They want us to believe that the conservatives are a bunch of gun-toting rednecks that shoot first and ask questions later. That's what they want us. That's what they want to frame us as. And then that same group that say that, the left, they want everybody to think that they are pacifist, and they're just peaceful, they just want fairness for everyone, and they're just peaceful people, and they would never hurt a fly. Well, Chad Nesbitt could testify that's not true. He suffered a brain injury from them attacking him. A number of people have had signs stolen, have had property defaced. An elderly man had a hat jerked off his head because it was a Make America Great Again hat. And by the way, anybody who don't want America to be great again, you and I have nothing in common. Nothing in common. And don't be jerking my hat off. Let me tell you this is what happened. There was a Madison Cawthorn parade. Okay, one of those unofficial parades, okay? Just some people displaying Madison Cawthorn signs, Madison Cawthorn flags, and they were riding around, a group of people just riding around Western North Carolina, promoting Madison Cawthorn for Congress. There was this vehicle. They were in the back of the line, bringing up the rear, so to speak. They were on 191, a little before you get to Borg Warner. And because of who they were and the parade, someone threw a gallon of jug at them, and it busted the windshield out of their vehicle. Now, it was a Jeep. They busted the windshield out of a Jeep, threw a gallon of water into the windshield of a Jeep, busted a window out of it. But what if it had hit the driver? What if it had caused them to veer left? What would that have done? Someone could have easily been killed. Hurling an 8-pound object into a windshield of an oncoming car, if the car that was thrown from is running 45 and the car coming the other way is running 45, then that gallon of water was hurled, an 8-pound object was hurled at 90 mile an hour. That was the impact. Now, I'm not making this up. This is simple. This is physics, okay? Take an 8-pound object of any kind and throw it at a windshield of a Jeep at 90 mile an hour and see what happens. It's Thousand Wonders hadn't hurt the drivers. They were able to control the vehicle and get stopped. But anyone knowing of any information concerning who threw this gallon of water at this vehicle and attacked them, this is considered road rage, and it is considered illegal, and these people can be arrested and can be charged with some very serious crimes for throwing something at another car. And I don't know if it borders on hate crime or not, but if not, it should. But again, at what point, you know, and I realize things happen very quickly, but just saying, somebody who does that to you, they mean to cause you bodily harm. It was not just a prank. I mean, it wasn't like you were going slow and they threw a milkshake over the side of your car. That's not what happened. They threw an 8-pound gallon of water into the windshield of a vehicle, destroying the windshield. That is an attack, and it's a vicious attack. And it happened right there, you would still be in Buncombe County, but it would be in there close. You know, it wouldn't be far into Buncombe County, southern and western Buncombe County. So, I'm just saying, I'm appalled. But here's the other part, though. Okay, let me just say this. Okay, so what was it that Mo Davis said, who is running against? What did Mo Davis say last year, talking about conservatives? What did he say? He said, put your foot on their neck till it snaps, till you hear a crisp snap, and then grind your heel. And they thought that was great. They laughed and cheered and had a big time about that. And Mo Davis, when asked about that, he said, in light of all the recent protests and Chad Nesbitt being attacked and having a brain injury, he said, let's not talk about, what did he say? Was it spicy? No, he didn't say spicy. Fiery tweets from the past. let's talk about the present. That was his response. I read it myself. Okay? I read it myself. So I've had people say that Madison's too, what's the word? Too calm? That Madison's too calm? Well, I have not heard of any of the Madison Cox people or Madison Cawthorn people. I've not heard of any of the Madison Cawthorn people attacking the Mo Davis people, have you? Haven't heard of that. And here's the other part. He'd be the first one to condemn that. Because of civility, because of, I mean, he would be the first one to condemn that. If one of his people were to attack a Mo Davis supporter and bust their windshield out because they were expressing their First Amendment rights of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, I know Madison well enough to tell you, Madison would condemn that in no uncertain terms. I was with Madison at the when the president came to Mills River. He and I came over and he and I talked a bit. The president said about Madison, we're both on the front row right there together, and the president said. He said, look at this Madison Cox. He said, look at this guy. He said, I won't even have my picture made with him. He said, no, he makes me look bad. Said, I won't even have my picture made with him. He said, man, he said, if I had a face like that, he said, I'd been president 20 years ago. Talk about Madison. So I thought it was pretty funny. But yeah, and of course, Madison did a tremendous job at the Republican convention, tremendous job. When he stood up, I mean, when the two Secret Service walked in from the side and brought his walker, and they were there to get him, and he come up, had them leg brace on, he stood up. That was a big deal for him to stand. And when he stood up and finished reciting what he was going to say. So then I come up from there. I come up out of my seat. I said, oh, hallelujah. So then I saluted. I come plumb out of my chair. I couldn't have been prouder. And then the stinking left attacked him, said he was rebuking the football players for kneeling for the national anthem. Yes, hallelujah, that's exactly what he was doing. And they need to be rebuked. He said, I kneel for the cross, but I stand for the pledge. I stand for the national anthem. Yeah. Anyway, here's what I'm fixing. And listen, had there been in that same group, had there been guys in the front vehicle banishing AR-15s and the one following up in the back with AR-15s hanging out the Jeep, number one, that wouldn't have happened, but then they would have, we'd been on the front page that we're some kind of military nuts. But here's my deal. At what point are we going to have armed escorts to protect our rights if the left continues to gain more and more and more? At what point will we not be safe in Western North Carolina to have a Trump sign in our front yard? At what point will they burn our house down? At what point will we no longer be safe? Someone says, well, you ought not have a Trump. That's your opinion, but you need to understand, I will fight for you to have an Obama in your front yard, or a Kamala Harris for president in your front yard. I'll be glad for you to do that. And I will fight for you to have that right to do that. And I'm not exaggerating. I've put that into the test, okay? And I've got a track record to prove that I fought for people I disagreed with, but I fought for their right to be wrong. because it was their right. And their rights were infringed upon, and I have fought for their rights. And will continue to do so. Because here's the thing. If they can take away the rights of those that I disagree with, man, it's just a matter of time before they take away my rights. Because the people who they disagree with me. See what I'm saying? If I let them take away the rights of someone else with whom I disagree, it's just a matter of time before they can take away my rights because they disagree with me. Do you understand that the Constitution does not grant you the right to not be offended? It does not grant you that right. It grants you have the right. The Declaration says the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But that does not include the right to not be offended. Hey, be offended. That's all I can tell you. Be offended. Okay. Now, I'm going to change gears here just for a second. I was at the doctor today, and she changed my medicine that I have been on for years. And I said, well, I'm doing well on it. Could you tell me why you're changing it? And she said, yeah, let me tell you. She said, you're on omeprazole. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, omeprazole is a PPI. And I looked that up. That is a proton pump inhibitor. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I was in a big conference all week last week and said that studies have concluded that people who are on PPIs daily are twice as likely to contract COVID-19. And she said, for people who are on PPIs twice a day, they are three times more likely to contract COVID-19. You say, what is a PPI? Let me see if I'm on it. All right. PPIs, I'm not going to try to give you the chemical names. I'm just going to give you some names that you may recognize. Delextant. Nexium. Lansoprazole or Prevacid. Omeprazole. Prilosec. Zegerid. Pantoprazole or Protonix. Rabeprazole or Acifax. Those are what's called proton pump inhibitors. And they stop production of or block the acid production in your stomach. Okay? They are, you know, long-term pills. But there is reason now to believe that possibly because you I'm guessing, because it lowers the overall acidity of your body, maybe because it, if you ingest it, that you don't have the acids to kill it, and maybe it's coming in that way. I don't know. And someone might say, well, what's the alternative? That's exactly what I wanted to know. What is the alternative? And this is what she said. Go with an H2 blocker. I said, okay. Tell me what that is. And she said, well, they're primarily over-the-counter now. You still can get them prescription, but they're primarily over-the-counter. And they, you know, treat heartburn, reflux, things like that. And she said, they're best when you take them before a meal, but you can take them at bedtime, and it suppresses those, you know, it coming up in the nighttime. But the most common one is Tagmet and Pepcid, Famotidine or Cimetidine, which is Tagmet or Pepcid. I did not realize that they had taken Zantac off the market. Did you know that? Yeah, Zantac's gone. But Tagmet and Pepcid, that would be your replacement, an H2 blocker in place of a PPI, a proton pump inhibitor. And it has been linked. Yeah, it has been linked to COVID susceptibility. You believe that? Yeah, I shared with you on Friday about blood types. A being very, very susceptible. The O's tend to be less susceptible by several percentage points. And those who do get it with O don't seem to be as, you know, near-death experience. They don't seem to be quite as bad. And this is not, you say, well, now I was O and I like to diet. Well, again, it's not. We're not talking about 100%. This is the way it is. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about there's been four separate studies in four different countries. Now, it started with the Chinese study and nobody believed it. So it triggered other studies in other countries. And from what they can tell, and they were just doing random tests, or they weren't random, they were looking at people on ventilators and people in the ICU because of COVID. And they got to noticing their blood types. And they found that people with type O, they weren't as near as many people. And O is a very common, but they were not as near as many people with O as were with the others. So, yeah, just to let you know. Also, I guess you know, I'm sure that you've seen this, that there has been enormous outbreaks of COVID. And in North Carolina, we hit a new high for deaths. And this just happened today. We still have restrictions left. There are 3 days left to the stage three restrictions to try to limit the coronavirus. The problem is that the trends are going up. Now, I know it's an election, and I don't know what the governor's going to do, but we had 53 COVID-19-related deaths yet today, and that's the highest one-day total during the pandemic period. There's 1,203 people in the hospital right now today, and this is the second highest one-day figure so far. There have been three previous times since March that we've had 50 or more deaths in a single day, and all three of those were in September. So this is new, and so the number of infections peaked in July, but at that time when we had the most infections, the deaths never went above 42 on any given day. Yeah. So your average, if you look at your average 7 day rolling 7 day average, about 25 a day die. It has been as low as 19 per day over a 7 day average. We are right now, we're getting ready, probably tomorrow, we will break 4,000 people have died in North Carolina. 3,992. And then we had 1,578 new cases today, which brings us right now in North Carolina, we are right just close to a quarter of a million cases of COVID, confirmed COVID-19. About 88% of that group have recovered. Some still have it, and of course, a small percentage have died. Okay. If you look at the number of new cases, and this is the 7 day average, and I just got through telling you that today it's 1,578, but if you look at the 7 day average, we are still above 2,000. Yeah. For our 7 day rolling average, this is the third day we've been above 2,000. Our average today over 7 days is 2,038 new cases a day. The only other time it's been that high was middle of July. Okay. Everybody is saying that it is people having family get-togethers, people going out more, eating out more, a lot of other things like that. So, you know, there's a great deal of concern that we're not taking it as seriously as we should. My fear is, and I'm just going to tell you where my fear lies. My fear is the governor's going to lock us back down. And I just, I fear that. I don't know that we can. I just don't know that we can take that again. You know, I'm just saying. I know this is bad, and listen. I have been. As a matter of fact, I've got criticism because I was so cautious. But you got to understand, I'm a conservative. So you shouldn't be surprised that, you know, that I'm taking this thing seriously. Conservatives are conservative. You know, we, you know, I'm just saying conservatives are, you know, are just that. I was just looking at some numbers. We continue to have, and I'm looking at today's numbers, okay? No, this is not today, okay? I'm looking at the 16th. But I'm looking at this chart that shows all this. On the 16th, you had, a proportion that were Caucasian, that were white. But the number of blacks admitted to the hospital is too high. You say, well, what do you mean by that? If you take the number of black people in the state of North Carolina, whether you want to identify them as black, African-American, African, whatever you want to call it, but you know what I'm talking about. If I'm going to use the term white, I'm going to use the term black, and I don't think anybody could be offended by that, okay? Well, I'm not saying Anglo-American. I'm not saying Caucasian. I'm saying white people, okay? So the number of white people to the number of black people, the number of black people that are being infected is much higher. The number of black people that are going to the hospital, much higher. And the number of black people that are dying from this thing is still higher. How come Black Lives Matter is not sponsoring some, you know, educational thing or giving out masks or giving out something? I'm just saying, if Black Lives Matter, why are they not chiming in on this? And I'm being serious as I can be. So, yeah, it's too high. The number is higher than the number of the population. You take the percentage of the population and then the percentage of those infected, and it's just way high. And I don't know why, but it's way, way high. Some say it's health. Some say it's hygiene. Some say that it's eating habits. I don't know. I'm just saying that it's way too high, and somebody needs to take a long, serious look at this thing, because it's like it's targeting that demographic. Now, we know it targets the elderly. We know that. But I'm not talking about elderly. I'm talking about that the black, African-American, African population is being affected way too much by this. And there needs to be something. And so, anyway, it's a shame that COVID-19 is a political issue. It's a shame that COVID-19 has its own politics, and it's a shame that people have drawn the battle lines where they did. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, it's just a shame. Because I thought if you were a conservative, you were conservative. It meant that you didn't take a lot of chances. And if you were a conservative, you went the extra mile to try to do things right and try to do things good and try to do things effective and efficient. That was, you know, that's what I thought. I thought that's what a conservative was. But maybe not. Maybe not. Seem like the roles have switched, have flipped here. I don't quite understand it. All right? And it's a shame that race is a political issue. I agree. And so, yeah. And it's, if you, and somebody said, if you Google Antifa, Antifa.com, it takes you to the Biden campaign website. All right, somebody wants to, okay, let's go back over. What is it that you take that can make you more susceptible to COVID-19? A PPI. What is a PPI? Let me give you some examples. It's the easiest way to tell you. Some examples of PPI. It's something for heartburn that you take every day. It's prescription typically. And maybe some of this is over the counter, but nevertheless, Dilexant, Nexium, Prevacid, Prilosec, Protonix, and Asafex. Pantoprazole, omeprazole, pantoprazole, rabeprazole, lansoprazole, esomeprazole, dexlansoprazole. Those are the chemical names. Those are the other names. And taking one a day can double your chances of getting COVID, not to be able to fight it off, rather. If you are exposed to it, and if you take it twice a day, it can triple your chances of getting it. I'm stopping taking it today, trust me. What are you going on? I'm going on the over-the-counter stuff. I'm going to go on, I haven't even seen, I don't know if it's Tagmet or Pepcid, but they're both the same family. Yeah, Tagmet or Pepcid, you can still get them. You can get them over-the-counter, but then you can get it prescription strength, which is twice as strong. And those don't seem to be affecting it. It's the H2s. H2 blockers does not seem to be affecting it as bad. It is the PPIs, proton pump inhibitor drugs. That seems to be the one that is puts you at a higher risk. Just saying. You could try it and see. I don't know. Don't know. But I will say this, for folks that are having to be out and folks that are in the public and you're high risk, you have no choice, it might be one of those little things you put in your arsenal to say, hey, maybe I need to look at this. Maybe I need to call my doctor and see. And yes, I could give you a reference. I'm not going to give it over the radio, but there was a conference this past week. It was ongoing training for medical doctors, and this doctor attended that conference, and that was what they told them. Yeah, concerning COVID-19. Okay? All right. Thank you for being on board. I got to be in class in 7 minutes. I got to teach. Thank you so much for being on board. I ask you to pray this afternoon. Please pray. There is a woman who died of COVID in Mexico. I was speaking with a missionary's wife today concerning it. It is a very bad deal. Whole family's lost. They cremated the body. The Mexican government is mandatory cremating COVID cases, mandatory cremation. And, of course, they're not allowing them to have funerals. You got to stand on the sidewalk outside the house. Bad deal all the way around. A lot of lost people involved. Please pray. This lady was saved, but a lot of lost people are in her family, and just a very sad, sad situation. Please remember that. And then a number of other things that the Lord knows about. Continue to pray for Venezuela. Venezuela has no fuel. They're the richest hydrocarbon deposits in the world. They have more natural gas and oil under their soil than Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. And yet they have no gasoline in their whole country because of socialism. They voted in socialism, and they socialized the wells. They kicked out the American companies, the British companies that did the refining, and now there is no fuel. And then on the promise of cheaper gas. And then it looks like that Bolivia, that the group MAS has won by a wide margin. There is once again talk of a voter fraud once again, but this was the party of the deposed president, Evo Morales, and there's even talk that he may return to power in Bolivia. He is the equivalent of Chavez in Venezuela. And they believe that and by the way, the Constitution limited 2 terms. But he flouted the competition and stayed in as president. Not even allowed to run again, but he sued the country and won the right to run. And, of course, they voted him in this time last year. Then they run him off. It wasn't bloodless. They had a coup. Freedom fighters against his forces. They finally run him out of the country. He's been living in exile. But they say he's coming back, and it looks like Bolivia could be in some real trouble. Please pray. We got a great number of assets there, missionaries, friends, churches. And, of course, we'd have it in Venezuela. And I can just tell you, the unholy trinity of Central and South America is Cuba, Venezuela, and Bolivia. And those three are thick as thieves. And it looks like that they are following in the footsteps. And the people voted it in. They're one of the greatest democracies in South America, and the people voted in socialism. But wait. in just a matter of days. The American people, as it stands right now, if the polls are true, in 14 days, 2 weeks from tomorrow, the American public are getting ready to vote in socialism. And President Madam Harris is a socialist, and she makes no bones about it. Somebody said, she's not running for president. No, that's not what she said. I've got her on tape. When I'm in office, this is what I'm going to do. When I'm the president, this is what I'm going to do. When I'm president, you have, how many days did she give them? She said that. When I'm president, you have so many days. That's what she told them. And she looked at the camera and she said, and you gun owners, I'm coming for you. You assault rifle owners, I'm coming for you. That's what she said. I heard her say it. Don't argue with me. I heard her say it. Okay? So get used to saying, Madam President. And we're 14 days away from what Bolivia apparently did yesterday, or did on Sunday. Again, they did it a few years back. Now they've done it again. They had a chance to get rid of it, and they voted it back in, by all probabilities. And you know why? The Robin Hood syndrome. Rob from the rich, give to the poor. They give us lots of free things. The government give us free things. Did you know that in Bolivia, if you weren't farming all of your land, they would take away your land? If you didn't farm it, they would take it away, and then they would give it to the government. The government would sell it for a profit to other people. Oh, we almost bought a piece of it. That's how I know. We got into a deal, going to buy it from the government, and then we realized that it had been taken from a farmer because that year he didn't plant it. And because he didn't plant it that year, he didn't have the money to plant it. But because he couldn't plant it that year, they took it from him. And we were going to buy it and build a church on it until I found out what they had done. Coming to a neighborhood near you. Socialism. Yeah, Karl Marx would be proud. Stalin would be proud. Oh, yeah. Nikita Khrushchev would take his shoe and pound on the pulpit and say, I told you we'd take it without firing a shot. God help us. Our Father, Lord, you sure have blessed this nation with the freedoms that we've enjoyed. Lord, you also gave us that self-determination, that free will to be able to determine and to be able to decide. Lord, you've never forced freedom on us. Lord, you've never forced salvation on us. Lord, you've never forced us to serve. You've always given us choices. And Lord, we have apparently squandered those choices if the polls are right. And Lord, we'll soon lose those choices, many of them. Father, I pray that you'd help us as the Church of the Living God. Lord, when things go bad, help us not to dig a foxhole and pull in the dirt behind us, but help us, Lord, to be willing to minister to those that are cold and hungry and that are going to be the victims of a failed socialist system. Continue to bless you people and help us, I ask, in this hour of need. We plead the blood and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our